Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Matthew, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our Westerville campus. And this past week, we were in week two of our series called Free, and we talked about being freed from fear. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, the passage that we looked at, Paul writes this. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And if you were with us this past Sunday, we looked at three truths about generosity from these verses. The first one is that we are blessed according to our level of generosity. Paul uses this analogy of a farmer sowing seed to help us to understand how generosity works. He says that a farmer who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, meaning that a small amount of seed is going to produce a very small crop. But a farmer who sows generously is going to reap generously, meaning that a large amount of seed will produce a very great harvest. Now, here's what Paul is not saying in these verses, that if you give God $1, you're guaranteed to get $10 back. You see, generosity isn't some magic formula to get something from God. And the motive behind us giving isn't to try to get something from him. That's not why we give. But the Bible is clear that there is both a material and spiritual blessing tied to our generosity, that God honors and blesses our generosity when we give with the right motives. This doesn't mean that we're going to be rich or that we're going to be wealthy, but God promises to meet our needs when we are open-handed with what we have. The second truth that we looked at from these verses is that generosity is about the posture of our heart. Look again at what Paul says in verse 7. He says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Paul is clear that we shouldn't give out of a sense of guilt or a sense of obligation. We don't give so that we can try to get God off our back. We don't give so that God will love us more. No, our giving should come from a heart of joy because Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. And so how do we learn to give from a heart of joy rather than out of guilt or out of obligation? The way we give out of joy is by remembering what God has done for us. Back in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich." You see, we don't give because God needs something from us. We give as a response to what God has done for us. That though he was rich, Jesus gave up the riches and the glory of heaven so that through his death on the cross, we might become rich in the things that matter most. Jesus laid down his earthly life so that we could receive his free gift of eternal life. Our joy in giving comes from recognizing and understanding what God has done for us. And then finally, the third truth is that we serve a God of abundance. You know, for many of us, we approach our finances with a scarcity mindset, meaning that we see money as a finite resource where there isn't enough to go around. And so we hold on tightly to what we have because we feel like we need to guard it. We need to protect it so that we're safe and secure. But in verse 8, Paul says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." You see, God's economy is different than ours. He's not limited by the same financial constraints that we deal with. His wealth is not tied to the housing market or the stock market. He doesn't have a bank account that will eventually run out. God doesn't have to ration out what he has. No, God owns it all. It all belongs to him. And so as God's children, we don't have to live in a state of fear and worry and anxiety around our money and our finances. And we don't have to operate from a place of scarcity and self-protection where it's all on us to provide for our family and ourself and our future. No, Paul says that our Heavenly Father, he is able and he is willing to bless us abundantly. And so anytime we have fear or worry or anxiety around our money, it is an invitation to trust. It's an invitation to believe that our God will do what he said he would, that he is able and willing to bless us abundantly so that in all things and at all times, we will have all that we need. And as we trust in God's promise, as we trust in God's provision, fear begins to lose its power in our life because we serve a God of abundance. And so I'd love to take a minute to pray for us today and then give you an opportunity to pray as well. So God, we thank you for the promise of your word, your promise to provide for your children, that you are a God of abundance, that you love to bless your children, that you are in control of all of it, and that you will meet our needs according to your riches. And so Lord, if there's any fear in our heart, in our life, around our money and our finances, if there's this sense of needing to hold on and to control what we have, Lord, I pray that today that you would help us to trust you, that you are in control, that you want what's best for us, and that you have promised to meet all of our needs, that you are a God of abundance who blesses generously. And so God, thank you for the way that you provide in our life. And it's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we ask these things and that we pray. Amen.